All right, today we're talking about how to use technology, automation, and even the coming robots in order to survive off-grid and to decentralize your life away from central control and to get out of the cities or to get away from the big tech platforms that are censorship-driven or really, like Google is a disinformation engine. So, of course, I'm working on the cutting edge of all the emerging technology here in terms of AI. And soon robotics, as soon as we can get our hands on some robots that we can train, we'll be doing that as well. And I always apply technology in a pro-human point of view. I believe in decentralization. I believe in humanity. I believe in a diversity of information and content and ideas. And I also believe in free speech and freedom of information. So I think knowledge should be free. I think people should have access to the world's knowledge instead of being funneled into disinformation narratives, which is what Google does, that's what YouTube does, that's what LinkedIn does, that's what Vimeo does, that's what Facebook does, etc. So all the tools that my company builds are tools that work to empower humanity, such as Brighteon.com, our free speech platform, or Brighteon.ai, our AI engine, which is trained on just a wealth of information in all these areas. And it's also getting better because we have a lot of new information that is, we're training on that now. We'll have new versions of Enoch and also new downloadable versions coming. All right, so first thing, in my view, first thing that you need to do is you need to learn how to use AI with prompt engineering. If you don't already have that skill, it's a really important skill, and you can use it, you can practice that skill with our free engine, Enoch, at Brighteon.ai. It's a non-demonic engine. We exorcised the demons out of it, and we programmed it with good stuff. Survival, off-grid living, home gardening, food production, natural medicine, disease cures, you know, all that good stuff. So you can feel totally safe using Enoch. You don't need an account. You don't need to give us your phone number. You don't even need, I mean, there's really no login. You just need an email address because that's where we email the answer to your prompt. So just go to Brighteon.ai and start practicing prompt engineering. If you don't know how to prompt engineer, then there's some videos out there, videos on Rumble or even YouTube for this purpose, maybe some on Brighteon about prompt engineering. Just watch the free videos and start learning prompt engineering. It's a critical skill. All right, the second thing you want to do is you want to start using AI engines for research. Now, I'm going to recommend a mainstream engine at the moment with some hesitation. However, you know, Enoch does not search the web, okay? So we don't have an independent media alternative solution that searches the web and does deep research. There are some models that you can use locally. If you've got a GPU and you want them to search the web, there are some models that can do that, some reasoning models. And personally, I think the best open source models right now are coming from either Alibaba, which is China, and those are Qwen models, or from Mistral, which is out of France. I strongly recommend that you avoid USA models. Avoid Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Meta, you know, OpenAI, etc. They're all heavily, heavily biased in favor of vaccines and biased in favor of wokeism and all kinds of nonsense. They all think there's 87 genders, and they think, you know, carbon dioxide is bad for the earth and things like that. So they're completely insane. Use, again, either Qwen, that's Q-W-E-N, or Mistral, which is my current favorite. The Mistral models have proven to be very, very good. And a lot of credit to the Mistral company out of France. And in fact, it is currently one of their models that is the base model that is, with modification, powering our Enoch engine. So if you notice some similarities between Mistral and Enoch, that's why. And we'll switch the base engine from time to time as a new base engine gets better. For example, NVIDIA just released their own engine. I think it's an 8 billion parameter model. We're going to test that, see if that's even better, possibly. I think it's called Nemotron. If it's better, we'll switch to that. I mean, we'll have to spend a few weeks, you know, reprogramming it and mind wiping it and training it, etc. But if it's better, we'll switch to it, okay? This is, we've developed the technique now to completely reprogram these, well, not 100%, but like 94% reprogramming these open source engines. It took us a year and a half to figure out how to do that. We've got that done. We're doing it now, and that's the result. Okay, to summarize, sorry if I'm a little disjointed here, but use AI engines for research. So if you want to research anything about health, medicine, herbs, nutrition, foods, food ingredients, gardening, food preservation, survival skills, emergency medicine, etc., use Enoch. It's very, very good at that. It's the best in the world. If you want to research something online where you want to do something like the other day, I was just searching for my prompt was, find a network attached storage device, a NAS device that has 24 bays and that supports these various RAID configurations and that has 10 gigabit network ports, etc. Find which companies have these available and create a list of the prices and the links and everything. So that kind of prompt is a deep research prompt, and you'll need to use an online service for that. And the company I currently recommend for that is Anthropic. Anthropic, which does have investment from Google, unfortunately, but the Anthropic engine is quite good. Some people like to use Perplexity. There are open source models that can search the web that you can run locally if you've got a GPU. And in order to do that, you'll want to download a piece of software called LM Studio. This is for the PC world. I think there's a Mac version as well. But LM Studio is the best inference engine out there. So download that, install it, run it. You'll need that to run our model, by the way, once we finally release our model, because it's distributed in a GGUF file. So get familiar with LM Studio. It's pretty easy to use these days. It's much easier than it was like a year and a half ago, believe me. They've made it more user-friendly. And learn how to run models locally. Now, this is going to be important in case of extreme censorship or in case the internet gets fragmented and parts of it are shut down because of war or tyranny or whatever. And this is why I am scrambling to try to get our standalone engine released, because I want to get it into your hands before the extreme censorship takes over. Now, California is already trying to censor AI models, and they're saying you won't be able to release them in California unless they are proven safe. Well, there you go. That's censorship, because from the point of view of the California government, it's not safe unless it pushes vaccines and psychiatric drugs and, you know, LGBT themes and things like that. That's safety, you know, from the point of view of Governor Newsom. So we need to get our models out before there's a lot of censorship. And believe me, I'm working hard on that. We've had a lot of breakthroughs. And I keep saying we're close. We're very close. So it'll happen soon. Just be prepared for that. Now, in just the next few months, you are going to see very sophisticated AI models released by us and other companies that you can download and run locally that will be just extraordinary in their knowledge about off-grid medicine and survival and things like that. You'll want to download those. Because once you have the downloads, and you could download models from Hugging Face, typically is where you would go, or if you download and install LM Studio, it has an automatic downloader built in, which makes it very easy. When you download the files, which could be anywhere from 3 gigabytes to 100 gigabytes, depending on the size of the model, but typically the ones that you would use on a desktop might only be, let's say, 5 to 10 gigabytes, and that's a very sophisticated AI model. But download the files now so that you can run them locally in case there's censorship. Or, you know, in case there's an outage, in case there's a nuclear war or a power grid failure or whatever. And a lot of these models can be run even on laptops today that come with some pretty capable NVIDIA chips built in. So you could get a laptop that's got like a 4070 chipset in it, or a 4080, 4090 NVIDIA GeForce chipset, Or something similar to that, you know, 3070 chipset with 8 gigabytes of RAM can run some pretty capable models all by itself. So get those files so that you are now off-grid, self-reliant. You can now do a ton of research. And especially when we have our models available, you can download those. They're going to be completely free. And you'll be able to have, well, the knowledge of like 10,000 plus books. You know, because we've trained on hundreds of millions of pages of content, including thousands of books, and including millions of scientific articles and studies, etc. So all of the knowledge that is transferred from that will be available to you for free, just at the cost of electricity for running your computer. Okay, that is a game changer. So that will give you the ability to then be more self-reliant, where you don't have to search Google for everything. You know, stop using Google. And even questions about health and medicine and gardening, or how do I disassemble this firearm? How do I make an herbal medicine extract out of this plant? You know, what's the best type of soil in which to grow these certain plants? You know, all these kinds of questions you can just ask AI. You can get those answers and it will cost you nothing. All right, so that's critical. Do that. Now then, drones. It's a decent idea to learn how to run a drone. Drones will be used in warfare. Drones, I'm talking about the flying type of drones. This is not a necessity, but it's a decent idea to own a drone, learn how to fly it, learn how they operate, understand the capabilities, etc. This can be used for perimeter surveillance, for looking for lost animals or looking for lost people, or identifying like an attack team that might be headed your way. You can use thermal cameras. If you do get a drone, get one with a thermal camera if you can afford it, so that you can identify people or animals on the ground. You can look for lost dogs, all kinds of things like that. So that's a decent idea. All right, next, I believe we're going to have ground-based drones, which will be like dog robots. And these will actually be more popular than the flying drones. There's a reason for that, because they're not FAA regulated. So I see a future in the very near future from companies mostly out of China, like Unitree, that makes these very, very capable robots, dog robots. I mean, they can traverse all kinds of outdoor terrain. They can climb up and down hills. They can run through forests. They can run across shallow streams, you know. They're incredible. So many of us will be acquiring dog robots or dog drones that will do things for us, such as perimeter defense. And also, I want to get a weed-pulling dog robot. That's my number one goal. I want a dog bot that pulls weeds from the garden so I can grow food more easily. Anyway, these dog bots they'll be very popular. They'll cost $5,000 or less, probably, coming out of China. And the software that's coming online will make them extremely capable at doing all kinds of things. They can pick up trash. They probably can pull weeds pretty soon. They can do perimeter scans, you know, sweeping the area with thermal cameras, what have you. And other simple tasks. Tasks that you can do with a dog mouth, you know, or a dog paw, maybe a specialized paw with a gripper tool or something. Maybe it'll have like an onboard gripper that attaches to the snout. Who knows? Like a hand in front, you know, of the snout. It doesn't have to be a dog snout, you know, it can just be a hand out there, just one arm, which would look freaky. Like my zombie dog with a zombie arm, you know. But that would be actually very handy, no pun intended. You're going to want to get these robots very quickly once they become affordable. I'm going to, for sure, I'm going to demo some robots for you in the studio. It's one reason why we just built a much larger studio, because we're going to give robots real-world tasks like, hey, here's a wheelbarrow. You know, shovel some dirt into it and go dump the dirt over there using the wheelbarrow. Let's see if it can do that, because that's a very handy task for growing food. Or here's a tomato plant with ripe tomatoes on. I just want you to pick the ripe tomatoes only, but not the unripe tomatoes, and put them in this basket, and then bring me the basket. That's a very handy task, right? So when the humanoid robots come online, for sure, you know, they're going to have hands and fingers, and they will be able to take on even more tasks. I believe that robotics has a place in decentralized living. I think that robots are actually going to be critical for off-grid living because there's so much labor involved in living out in the country or, you know, growing your own food. And growing your own food is a critical part of self-reliance. And yet, very few people do it today because it's so labor intensive. And yes, there are techniques to do more in less time. You know, like Marjorie Wildcraft teaches that, how to grow up to 70% of your food in, I don't know, what's the claim, an hour a day or something. Well, she's good at growing food. I'm not that good. I've never been able to grow food for just an hour a day. But with a robot, I could probably do that as long as the robot is taking over a lot of tasks. And also security tasks and folding laundry and, you know, doing dishes and putting away your groceries and things like that. So there are a lot of things that robots can do for you. So I will keep you posted on this. These technologies, AI and AI, local AI engines, and then robotics and possibly drones, these are technologies that we should not shun. We should investigate them, we should learn how to use them, and we should master them. These are the technologies that are going to give us more freedom, more self-reliance, more sustainability off-grid. And I believe that robots will become a regular part of the lives of most people, that is, at least people who can afford them. You're going to see robots being assistants to people for all kinds of things, not just the labor tasks, but also, of course, social reasons. Like, oh, you need a friend. Here's your robot for now. I'm not in favor of that. I don't need a robot for a friend. I need a robot to pull weeds and shut the hell up, man. Just do what I need done. Take this task. Do it. Shut up. That's what I need a robot to do. I don't need a friendly robot. I just need a robot that works. But some people need it for social reasons. There's going to be robots that do a lot of like in-home living to keep an eye on elderly people, for example. And, you know, medical or healthcare type of robots, especially in countries like Japan, which has a demographic problem. They don't have very many young people, etc. So you're going to see a lot of home health robots, which will be very expensive. And it'll be billed to Medicare, probably. So it'll be billed at like $10,000 a month to have a robot in your home. Which is an absurd cost. You can probably buy one for $10,000 one-time fee that's just as good. But, you know, Medicare billing is a giant scam in America. Nevertheless, don't shun the robots. Don't shun AI. Learn how to use it. Learn how to control it. Because this is going to take over the world. I mean, you're going to see robots and AI everywhere. And if you don't know how to control it and how to use it, you know, then you're at risk of becoming enslaved by it or, you know, being dominated by it or being afraid of it because you don't know how it works. And that's a bad place to be. Much better to know how it works and to control it and master it. So again, I will keep you posted. We'll be acquiring robots, probably multiple robots, and testing them out as they become available. That's going to be lots of fun. And then, of course, go to brighteon.ai to use our AI model free right now. And it's going to keep getting better and easier to use also. And then wait for our downloadable version of Enoch, which is also coming. And prepare yourself with LM Studio. And also get yourself a GPU graphics card so that you can run inference locally, download the models that you want to use, and start learning those skills. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I'm at brighteon.com. I'm at naturalnews.com. And I'm also at X. My handle there is Health Ranger. And someone just told me the other day I've got like 350,000 followers there. It's like, how did that happen? I thought I was trying to annoy people. Apparently it didn't work and the numbers have grown. I didn't even know. I thought I was still at 100,000 or something. It doesn't matter. I don't keep track of the numbers. I don't care. I honestly have no idea how many people follow or unfollow or this or that. I just post stuff that I think you need to know or stuff that's kind of funny. All right. So thank you for listening. And you can catch me on all the platforms I just mentioned and watch for the upcoming robot training videos or robot test videos. Yeah. In our new studio. That should be really interesting. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.